Remember that from last Sunday morning, don't you? That's the first lesson that we had. Took our time spending the analysis of the first 12 verses of the proverb letter there in the 26th chapter. And I had revealed that in 11 of those 12 verses, you'll find that word kesiel, which means fool. Over half of the times you find that Hebrew word, you'll find it in the proverb letter, and 8 times in this particular chapter. And so we went through last Sunday morning looking at the first 12 verses with the exception of one verse where the word fool was found over and over again. But as you continue reading the 26th chapter of Proverbs, you don't find so much the word fool, you find those who are foolish. I found that to be interesting, and I wasn't planning this, but just continue to read. I discovered that, maybe we should talk about the 5 different areas or specifics where individuals are found as foolish. And so we're going to do that this morning. And so I've kind of labeled this lesson part 2 for a fool. And using that, you're going to be looking there verses 13 through 16, and you find the fool being the lazy man. And we're going to look at it in 4 of the aspects that are there for us in the 26th chapter. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion is in the streets. Now, the moment I saw that, I can't help but think about the cowardly lion of the Wizard of Oz, right? That's probably what you might be thinking as well. That would be appropriate because they fit together. It is a very prominent character flaw where this one appears to be scared of their own shadow. And so being scared of their own shadow, it promotes laziness. But I want to suggest to you that laziness also produces cowardness. It's like a down here circling spiral, like going down the drain. And when I think about this, I think about laziness and the excuses that lazy people use. Think about that for a moment. The lazy man says there's a lion in the road. There may not be a lion in the road, but it's an excuse. I remember one time reading in a bulletin about an individual was asked by a member of the church about coming to services on Sunday, and the individual said, "No, I can't come. I'm making soup." And the individual said, "What does making soup got to do with you coming to services?" And the fellow said, "Well, one excuse is as good as another." Well, that's kind of what we have here. One excuse is as good as another. The lazy man is individuals that will make excuses. And I tell you what, I don't think I've found anybody that makes more excuses than individuals who are lazy. They are the best excuse makers I think that I have ever seen. The lazy man says there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion's in the street. And then the very next verse, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. I tell you, this is a very easy thing to preach at 9 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? It's not difficult. We might think about the way we were when we were this morning. We don't really like getting out of our beds, but the lazy man, the bed is his or her best friend. And the more that they're in the bed, the lazier they get. It's like a revolving door. This is a person that's indolent. Have you ever heard that expression? The word indolent by definition means that they are adverse to activity. That's the lazy man, and that's the way that they are. They're just like a door on a hinge as they're turning in their bed. Laziness feeds to more laziness. It prompts more laziness, and it will suck the life out of you. And that's one of the reasons why I try to talk to especially older members of the Lord's church as we are becoming more tired, as the body's getting a little bit more difficult to work, that we need to make sure that we stay in life, that we try to stay busy and active to the best of our ability, because if not, it will hasten your death. And so try to be active to some degree, or as June Allison used to say in those Depends commercials, get back into life. That's what she used to say. So let's not be that type of person that we're out there making the excuses of the lions in the street, like a door turning on its hinges, so is the lazy man. And then the third activity that we find here, the lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Think about how that is. It almost seems like that's hyperbolic, that that's to the extreme, but it is making a very important point, is that this person is so lazy that they won't even take care of the necessities. It wearies them to feed themselves. It's not that, you know, there's some type of physical handicap or something that the effort is just too much. It's just that they're just too lazy. That's the effort that is talked about here. And there's individuals that are like this, that they're so lazy that they simply will not take care of the necessities of life. And I think that I would be failing in my duty if I didn't bring forth 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 somewhere in this scenario. And so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you see there in verse, well, let's begin in verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person. Do not keep company with them, that they may be ashamed. Now the sad reality is that a lot of lazy people are not ashamed of the way in which they are living. It's a sad reality that there are so many that simply refuse to work and have given their lives over to looking for others to supply for them. Many of them go after government daddy to take care of them. And there's a lot of people that are of the impression that their work is trying to figure out how not to work. You know anybody like that? That they're working so hard to make sure they're not working and that they take advantage of everyone and everything and every program around them. And I tell you what, in the homeless community and in a lot of the communities, Sandra and I discovered how vast that is in South Bend, Indiana. And I'm confident that it's vast all over the country of the people that are out there that they're involved in being so lazy that they've decided that their work is to figure out how not to work and still make money and take advantage of others that are around them. It's a sad reality that there's a lot of people that are like that. And the last one, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Now think about this for a moment. There are people that are very proud of how they skim the system. There's individuals out there that are on street corners all across America that are begging for money. Many of them are not hurt. It's not that they can't work. They've learned how to game the system. And they're out there begging money. They might be bringing home more money than you are on a weekly basis as a result of their ability to beg. There's a lot of folks that are like that. They're milking the system, and they can brag about how effective they are at milking the system. And when you try to talk to these people about something sensible, about these biblical principles that require us to work, you might as well go over to that wall and bang your head on it. That's kind of what the writer's telling us there. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. They always have an excuse. They're always ready to explain why they're lazy and how they are involved in taking advantage. Don't placate these people. Don't allow these people to take advantage of you. Don't allow these people to run roughshod over you. Don't allow these people to interrupt what your life is. Remember, we're talking, as we've been looking through these first 12 verses, we're talking about the fool. And now we suddenly have four verses that talk to us about the lazy man. Oh, what a fool he is. Don't be fooled by the fool, the lazy man. Let's go to the next individual. Just one verse. I call this individual the meddler. The meddler there in verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Don't really need to explain that. That's pretty self-explanatory. Now, some might come along that are a little bit too smart and say, well, I can do that with my pet. Well, yeah, you might be able to get by with that with your pet. I mean, that pet loves you. That pet knows you. That pet's like, why do you have my ears? You know, but don't try to do that with a strange dog, right? Don't try to do that with an aggressive strange dog because you'll pull back a nub. That guy's about to pull back a nub. He must have grabbed the dog by the ears. Don't do that. A dog will turn and tear you apart if he gets the opportunity to do that. But there's a lot of people that meddle in the affairs of others. And it's just like they've grabbed the dog by the ear. There are some that like to meddle in others' affairs, others' disputes, maybe even domestic disputes, family disputes. And they're going to do nothing but bring pain into their own lives. They're going to get caught up into something in the middle and create trouble and sometimes bring severe pain and trouble to their lives. The word here, meddle, in the Hebrew, is the word that means to be engaged and enraged. The meddler is engaged and enraged. I think in our vernacular here in 2024, we would call these people Karens. It's exactly what they are. They're the Karens. They're just involved in everything. There's memes all over the place on Facebook about HOA people that are approaching people's doors. They make me laugh, you know, some of the things that they do. They're just engaged in things that they ought not be engaged. They got their nose in a place that it doesn't need to be, and they exacerbate the quarrels. They make the quarrels a lot of times a lot worse. They are contentious and divisive individuals. They are foolishly stupid. And they engage and involve people into things and escalate the problems instead of de-escalating the problems. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Yep, that's foolish category number two. As we've been looking through Proverbs 26, all of those words for a fool, here is the lazy man, the meddler. Let's go to the next one. Specific number three for those that are foolish, we call these the madman, the mad woman, as you look there in the next two verses, in verses 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Think about that for just a moment. But this is a mad. Now, the word man there is italicized. Just the mad. I don't know if this is the Mad Hatter of Batman or not. This one's just mad. This is a panting person who's running in a marathon, or a dog that is rabid in his panting. That's the definition for this word, mad. Like a panting dog. Well, what an explanation that is. We just had the concept about grabbing the dog by the ears, and now we have someone that's much more like the dog. That's been grabbed by the ears. The one that's in firebrands. We don't use that expression today, do we? But it's a burning arrow or a fiery darts. In Matthew Henry's commentary, they say that the excuse which men commonly make for mischief is that they do this just in jest. That means that they're creating all this mischief, but if they happen to get caught, they just turn around and say, oh, I was only kidding. That's a madman, somebody that just acts the way that picture kind of summates. And then you look around and then that they're caught in this and they're someone that's been called on the carpet for this. Ah, I was just joking. Well, that's just rubbish. It's not true. It is not accurate at all. They've been caught in their destructive words and their deeds. A fool acts this way. And so we ought not be foolish. Don't be the mad man, the mad woman. Don't be the fool that is involved in throwing out all these darts and arrows, get caught, and then say, oh, I was only joking. Only a fool thinks they can get by with such things. Let's go to the fourth one. So we've got the lazy man, we got the meddler, we got the mad man. Now we've got the tale bearer. The tale bearer in the next three verses. And so let's look at each one of these verses as they express to us the illustrative devalue of a talebearer. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. That is so true. The talebearer parades about just dying to spread the tale. Just like a fire. Wants the fire to spread and to spread. Whether the tale end up being true or false, usually this is in reference to false. Wilson's Old Testament dictionary says, the tale bearer's a whisperer, one who injures falsely or maliciously claims to ruin the reputation of another. This is a horrible person. The talebearer is a horrible person, a foolish person that is set out to destroy. And there's two other passages that I think we can continue to add to this. As you go there to verse 21, verse 21 says, as charcoal is to burning coals, as wood to fire, so a contentious man to kindle strife. Really, this is very much like the last one, isn't it? But you don't have the word talebearer, you have the contentious person. But I suggest to you it's the same individual. The talebearer is a contentious man or a contentious woman. Again, Matthew Henry once again says in his commentary from this verse, contention is as a fire. It heats the spirit, burns up all that is good, and puts families and societies into a flame. I thought that was really good. That was worth noting. Because that's exactly what's going on here. The contentious individual is kindling the strife. They're the ones involved in it. They're the ones stoking the fire. They're stroking the contention, the divisiveness, and the strife. As charcoal is to burning coals, that's what they're like. As wood is to fire, they're the charcoal, they're the wood. Now, when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about individuals who are Christians, and it describes the field of Christians in inanimate objects. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 3, verse 11, there's no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, all six of those are descriptions of the value of the Christian. That there are some that have taken a liking to the teachings of Jesus and are very much like gold and silver and precious stones. But others are like wood, hay, and straw. He says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work as to what sort it is. If anyone's work which he built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss. He's talking about gospel preachers. Workers in the vineyard. The field was the Corinthian church. And so each worker in the vineyard was bringing people to Jesus. But sadly, some would do really well when put through the fire test. Some would end up getting burned up. Wood, hay, straw. Well, wood, hay, and straw is not going to survive. They're going to end up being burned up on the day of judgment. And that's exactly what a talebearer is. They're like wood, hay, or straw. They are just kindling to the flame. And they themselves will suffer the eternal flames that our God has set before us on the day of judgment. Don't be like them. And then you notice here in verse 22, we have the last onset of the talebearer. The words of the talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost bodies. We love tasty trifles, don't we? We really do. I mean, we like to go get us a sweet morsel every now and then. And sometimes our sweet morsels are spicy talk. That sounds like something you might hear from the Andy Griffith Show. And that's exactly what happens sometimes. People get into the spicy talk that are around them that seem at the time so innocent, but maybe they're not so innocent. That spicy talk that's just designed to stay between me and you, sometimes it goes far deeper than that. It affects the relationships that we have with others that are around us. Especially if we share that tale with others that are about us, or gossip about that tale with others that are about us, can be so destructive, so foolish. It happened in my family. My grandmother on my mother's side, she's been my mother's mother, her husband passed away. I think I was the last baby that my grandpa held. And so my grandmother lived another 35 years after that. And so she spent the balance of her time living with four of her children. Well, as a result of a grandmother who couldn't keep her mouth shut, those children start to turn against each other. And as a result of that, I have several cousins I've never met in my life because it created so much family dissension. I remember at her funeral, I walked up to some of my cousins and introduced myself as being a cousin that I never met. And I remember my aunt, when she saw me approaching her, she practically panicked. I don't know if she thought I was going to come over and hit her or not. I don't know. I can't even hardly remember her name. I never met hardly the woman. because I have a grandmother that couldn't keep her mouth shut. And so whatever secrets that she learned living with one child, she went and shared them with another child. And that creates all kinds of problems in a family. Oh, those tasty trifles, they might taste really good, but boy, can they destroy. They go down to the inmost body and just are nothing but destructive. And so what we've had here is a description, specific descriptions of those who are foolish. We had the lazy man, right? The one shouting to lions in the street, the one turning over on the beds, and the meddler. That's like going about and grabbing the dog by the ears. When you let go, there's going to be a bite that takes place. The madman that's out there when he does all of his destructive forces, being caught, said, "Oh, I was just kidding." Now the talebearer and all of these things that just looking for wood and charcoal and straw and hay to just kindle the fires of contention and division and strife. And the last one, the hater. I want to just say the hater. That's an interesting expression, the hateful man, and in this expression, the hateful woman. It could be a hateful person, verses 24 through 26. In verse 24, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. Disguises it and lays up deceit. A disguiser, a deceitful individual. Well, what might we think about someone like this? We might think about an actor. Or we might think about a hypocrite. But I think this is not just an actor, not just a hypocrite, but it's an actor and a hypocrite on evil steroids is what this person is. This is a person that has hate deep down within them. They're able to disguise it and deceive other individuals, but this person's got it laid up with himself. They give every impression that things are just fine and dandy, but no, disguising and deceit is fair play to the hater. That's the actions he has. Don't be around this person. Don't allow this person to come into your life, because he's just simply going to destroy you, and he's going to destroy others around you if you allow this person to come deep down into your life, into your heart. As you continue to read in verse 25, we see that the hateful individual, when he or she speaks kindly, don't believe him. For there are seven abominations in his heart. It's like, that's a weird phrase. But for the Jew, the number seven basically gave the idea of perfection. It's the idea of maturity, whole, complete. The idea of maturity. He is mature in the abominations of his heart. He has perfect hatred in his heart. When he speaks kindly, don't believe him, because his heart is very different than the words that are coming out of his mouth. Again, the idea of deceit. He speaks deceptively. He uses kind words to pounce, to ingratiate himself or herself with others, in order to manipulate, to control, to destroy. Got to be very careful. Don't allow this type of person to become rooted into your life. You try to encourage young people that are in the process of dating to be on the lookout for individuals like this, to be able to try to figure out what's going on in deep recesses of their hearts, because these are individuals, they speak kindly, but you can't believe a word's coming out of their mouth, because hatred is truly deep down within their heart. And then there's verse 26. The last aspect, once again, through his hatred is covered by deceit. All three of these passages are trying to tell us that hateful people lie to your face. They just lie to you. They'll look right into your eye, deep down into your soul, and lie to you like it's the truth. Do you know anybody like that? I know people like that. Do you know anybody like that? Through his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. You know, maybe the greatest example of this, I don't know if you would have thought of this example, but the example that just blotted out to me, just blurted out to me in Scripture, is a fellow by the name of Haman. Remember the guy named Haman? The story of Esther? He hated the Jewish people. One of them dead. And as a result of that, he tried to use the king of Persia to accomplish that. If it wasn't for Mordecai and Esther, his plan may have succeeded. But in Esther chapter 7, the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, it said in verse 1. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, "What's your petition, Queen Esther? And so it was granted to you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom it shall be done." Then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we've been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, to be annihilated. We've been sold as male and female slaves. I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss." And, of course, the king said, "Who's this? Who is he? Who dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? The adversity and enemy is this wicked Haman." And he had built a gallows to kill Mordecai on. And he was trying to destroy all the people in the Persian empire that were of Jewish descent. That would have included Esther. But we know that the king, that he hung Haman on the gallows he prepared for Mordecai in verse 10. These people, they lied, they deceive, everything's fine, everything's, they lie right to your face. And now they're going to stick it to you. They use their lies as the purpose of destroying others that are about them. We looked at five categories of fools. We got the first 12 verses that talked about what a fool was and that word all the time. And then there were five categories. And as you look at those five categories, I just leave you with this. Are you in any of those five? I hope not. I hope and pray you're not. But you know better than I what your condition is. And if your condition has any likeness to the five type of things that we talked about this morning, you might want to come forward and confess sin. You might want us to pray with you or for you. You might just want to take care of it yourself, acknowledge it to God, and start doing better. Start working through these things. Remember the lazy man, that he was brighter than seven sensible men that might come and answer him. Well, God's trying to answer. God's trying to penetrate the cranium. Hopefully these type of words can penetrate our craniums and will encourage us to do better if we've been failing. Let's not be foolish. Let's not be a part of this group. And if there's anyone in the audience that sees themselves as acting and behaving in foolish ways and desires to ask God for forgiveness and want our prayers, you can come to the front as Chris leads us now in this song.